Welcome back to The Edge. Paid ads, verification is everywhere. You can finally correct YouTube videos without pulling them down. Featured snippet layouts are being tested on Google, and we're going to talk about brand safety for podcasts on Spotify. You're listening to News from The Edge for the week of June 20th, 2022, here on Edge of the Web Radio.
From the Edge of the Web studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
This is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks, owner of Site Strategics, a digital marketing firm based here out of Indianapolis, Indiana. We're covering this SEO and digital marketing news every week, separate from our weekly interviews, getting more news to you even more quickly. Be sure to check out all the recent shows plus more over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Welcome to the Site Strategics Digital Marketing News Desk of Edge of the Web. We're proud to have Site Strategics as the title sponsor of Edge of the Web. Our digital marketing team is excellent at results-based agile marketing. We'll talk a little bit more about what we do during the show, but check us out over at sitestrategics.com. Joining me this week to share his take on all things digital marketing news is Morty Oberstein, head of SEO branding at Wix. Morty, we're doing something new today.
Something new?
Yeah, we're trying out a new platform, right?
Yeah, it's not great.
Well, we're kicking it around.
I'm not going to say what platform it is, but it's not great.
Yeah, we had to turn off the video just to avoid the lag. So we're actually doing some new recording testing out while Jacob's away. I'm trying out a couple of different platforms, making sure that we can sound.
When Jacob's away, Morty, and Aaron will play.
Exactly, and we kind of broke some. So welcome, yep. Welcome to the show.
Sorry, Jacob.
Yep. He'll have to clean this up afterwards. You realize that? What's happening in Morty's world?
Yeah, you realize there's still a lag. Still lag.
Oh well, we'll navigate there.
This is gonna be a fun episode, folks. Oh well.
So what's going on with Morty?
Awkward laughter 5 minutes after I said something.
All right. Well, so what's happening in Morty's world?
Let's see. Oh, my enzyme levels are back to normal.
They are.
So I'm not gonna die.
Well, we were wondering about
that. I had a whole problem.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I had a whole problem where the enzymes in my liver were off, mm-hmm. whatever that means. And that was bad for whatever reason. I don't fully understand that. So I had to switch up my diet and then get retested, you know, 5 months later, and it worked. So
fantastic.
I was pretending, playing it cool, like I'm not going to die, but I was really nervous. Like, maybe I'm going to die here.
Holy crap.
And I'm not. I'm good.
Well, thank you. Thank you for not dying.
I wasn't
not
that bad. I was going to die. It was, but yeah, you bring me here for levity and lightness, and I've totally dragged the podcast down just now.
What kind of diet changes did you do?
I only eat whole wheat. I don't eat a lot of carbs, and I eat essentially a lot of white meat, like, you mm-hmm. know, turkey breast and chicken. And
oh, good.
A lot of vegetables, no processed food for the most part.
Yep, that'll do it.
So basically nothing good. Yeah, and very little alcohol, like a couple glasses of wine on the weekend, that's it.
All right, you stopped me there.
I'm hungry.
Don't you want a hot dog at Wrigley Stadium? Come on.
Would love a hot dog at Wrigley Field. Would love one.
I tried to pull it off, man.
You know, thank you. I appreciate the effort you made there.
All right. Well, the Edge and Ahrefs wants to hear about your own epic fail stories. We're celebrating our 500th episode a few weeks back, and we have a pretty cool promotion. Share with us your epic fail at hashtag Edge500, and we'll pick a winner each week to be able to give a fantastic swag kit from Ahrefs. Tweet your story over to Edge500, and we'll pick the ones that we like best. Post a quick 2-minute video to hashtag Edge500 telling your story of the fail that you had with what the situation was, how you found out about the fail, how you fixed the situation, and what you learned from the fail. Be sure to mention, again, hashtag Edge500, our Twitter account at EdgeWebRadio, as well as Ahrefs at Ahrefs in the tweet. Be sure to protect the names of the innocent. Post once, and we may actually pick their epic fail for a story on the show here in the next few weeks. All right, on to the show. Our first article is from Search Engine Roundtable. The Barry Schwartz gives us a little bit more information about what's happening on verification side of things for ads. Microsoft Advertising now requires advertisers to provide identity verification to ensure that customers see the ads from trusted sources. which improves customer experiences, the company said. Google Ads actually has this requirement for certain verticals and industries as well, so it should come to no surprise that Microsoft's going to be doing it. Advertisers can use government-issued IDs, photograph included in personal identification, business-related documents issued by appropriate regulatory authorities to complete the process for Microsoft advertising. I don't believe they're actually going after particular verticals. It's starting to roll out. It's highly automated, and they simplified the procedure to ensure that advertisers can complete it very quickly. So your business and your individual name and the operation country or region will be displayed for the to the searcher as they are actually hovering over the ad itself. So there's a couple of different steps. Certainly go over to Barry's article, four steps on the actual verification process, a heck of a lot different than what's going on over at Google. The Google's digging in even further for a particular vertical inside the financial environment as well. So there's an additional story we want to encompass with verification process. They're actually going into the financial district, so to speak. Policy is changing right now to cover financial products, personal loans, loan modifications, binary options, credit repair services, debt services, cryptocurrencies, and more. So they're going to unpack a heck of a lot more verification services, as Google already does for legal, as well as garage doors, plumbing, and locksmiths. They're certainly have been opening up for a number of other markets. So I know this is not where you play regularly, Morty, but I got a feeling this is going to be happening for all platforms. All verification needs to happen in order to have those mediums be trusted by the searchers and customers, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because Microsoft is a little bit behind Google in this sense, and it's good to see Google going down the financial sector a little bit harder because some of that's a gigantic mess. But I'm going to throw a little softball out here. What are your thoughts on the verification process? Does it work for you, Aaron?
Yes, we've had it worked for us. We also have had some difficulties with certain verification steps. We're going through a couple cycles with AVS, not too jazzed about the feedback that they give you. For example, they will not tell you
what. Did you read the guidelines, by the way?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought it was more, you know, kind of loose associated. No, of course we read the guidelines. We preened through the bloody guidelines.
Okay, I was making sure you read the guidelines. You know, I don't want to.
Somebody suggested I do that. But we're dealing with Google right now, and it's very, very strange how you have to go through, and literally it's a legitimate company, but they still trip on something. And it's, you know, you need a little bit of communication, Google, letting us know what's actually failing to be able to pay you guys more money. How about that? Not that I'm griping or anything.
Win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
Win-win.
Great business model, Google. You know, what's actually really cool is you can go over to YouTube, and now you can actually add corrections to your YouTube videos from Search Engine Journal by Matt Southern. YouTube is actually launching a new feature that will allow you to add corrections to a video after publishing it. So here's the deal, guys. For anybody who's been in YouTube, anytime you were trying to correct something on your video, guess what you have to do? You have to take that video down. Alternatively, leave the video up and...
Yeah, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this video.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you had to take that video down, lose all the traffic, all the visibility to be able to replace that video. Alternatively, you could put some corrections in the description, which nobody would read, right? So in this respect, the old solution created even more problems because the watch time and engagement metrics all got lost in the process. So YouTube creators decided to address these errors once and for all. They're usually doing so in the history. They've been doing it in the description. Now we've got a tool. So YouTube's correction feature is a mix of old and new. It still requires creators to call out errors and provide clarification in the video description section. What's new with the launch is the ability to draw attention to the corrections during the video itself. With YouTube video corrections, you can actually alert viewers when a particular moment in the video contains an error and link to that description section, like a jump link, where the clarification is provided. So you're not fixing the video, but at least you're calling out explicitly during the time when you actually made the correction, and then you can reference that correction in the description. It's kind of a Band-Aid fix, but at least it's in front of the viewer. All right, Morty, what do you think about them apples from a video fixing tool?
way better. I remember plenty of times where I screwed up a video. I'm like, oh boy, this is, what do you do now, right? There's nothing to do.
I mean, you lose all really, your stats, lose taken. All your.
Take this video down. It's super annoying. I guess like this is good. Like, you know, warning. What you're about to see is crap. We've completely screwed it up. Check out the description.
That's actually interesting. Hadn't even thought about that. You could actually, hold on a second here. If you have a video that you posted and then, yeah, if topics change or what have you, you can actually have a higher click-through rate to a link that you describe in your description.
I was just thinking that.
Huh.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, like, oh, check out the, oh, whoopsie. We made a mistake here. Check out the description for the updated links for the right stuff. Click, click, click.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you could easily abuse your error correction.
Why are we the way we are as marketers? Why is that? Why did our minds both immediately go there?
It's a terrible thing, man. I'm just looking for an improvement on the click-through rate. Come on. No, we would never abuse it that way. And we would never expect anybody else to it either. So that's it. Check it out.
I expect certain people to.
Well, you know, yeah, it's an assistance, but with all these type of tools, yeah, you're going to see some exploitation in space. But good article from Matt Southern over there. Hey, we're proud to have Site Strategics as a sponsor of Edge of the Web. As we said in the beginning of the show, Site Strategics are pioneers in the agile digital marketing space. Our core specialties are technical SEO, including Core Web Vitals optimization, search engine marketing, social media conversion rate optimization, focused on improving your cost per acquisition, and it's all focused on results-based marketing that works. We've also done a pretty cool thing with our studio here, and you develop a content curation process guided by our weekly R&D from Edge of the Web interview. So we incorporate the best techniques for content broadcast strategy for our clients. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, just give us a call at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. All right, third article from Search Engine Land from the Barry Swartz. We get twofer from Barry this week. Google is testing new featured snippet layouts. And I know Morty was chewing on a couple of neat things that are happening on SERPs here recently. So I want to pull this article around. Google's actually recently testing new formats, layouts, and interfaces for its featured snippet slot in the search results. Generally, says Barry, Google shows a single source for a featured snippet, but since 2018, Google occasionally showed multifaceted featured snippets for some queries. Before going further in the article, Morty, you actually exploded on the scene here last week, pointing out some incredible changes on the mobile side of featured snippets. Did you not?
Did I? I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember? Yeah. You're pointing out a heck of a lot of cool things as it applied to kind of the scrolling space. And all of a sudden, more and more SERP, very MUM-like, actually, features started to unpack.
Oh, the Explore thing.
The Exploring, exactly.
Yes. I found that. But I think somebody found that before me in the game of Is This New?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was second. But it looks different now, and it's way more prolific than it was when the other guy found it. So I still win the medal. isthisnew.com. Check it out.
Check it out. Isthisnew.com. Yeah, you actually spun that up a couple weeks ago. Oh my God. The memes. The memes.
I have two sites I have Barry. Two sites that now that troll Barry Schwartz. God. Yeah. So there's isthisnew.com. Check that out.
What was the other one?
And then there's barryseomemes.com.
Exactly. Dude, that's terrible.
That one's great.
Check him out.
I'm trying to get one to rank for his name.
Oh my gosh, we could absolutely do some work there.
Sounds great.
So Google's testing out many features, more than two, up to four different featured snippets. On the article over at Search Engine Land, it gives an example of the different layouts. Bear has actually took a screenshot. Can you give Allegra to dogs? And four different types of layouts actually were just being displayed there. Card style as well as box style there. So we're always paying attention to what's happening on the Google SERP interface. That's where year, Google's actually focusing their efforts and focusing the customers to be able to interact in that space even before sending, and more importantly, that's the intent, before sending them to another destination page. So they're crafting better and better, more usable screen pieces of real estate to be able to answer your question and also engage more. And you've certainly seen a lot. You've been reporting a lot about feature snippets here as of late, Morty. I'm just paying attention.
Yeah, I think by the way that it's not an accident. This is the third feature snippet test in the past, we're going to say 3 months,
mm-hmm.
With multiple URLs. I don't think that's an accident at all. I think this is something new.
Mm-hmm.
On one foot, I think what you're seeing Google realize that it has to offer more content diversity. The one that focusing on what I would call Google being an authority-centric search engine in the past,
yeah,
meaning leveraging the fact that it offers the one true answer via, you know, feature snippets or direct answers as being the authority, which obviously is good for business because that gets people to come back and use your search engine over and over because you are the authority in information. I think Google realizes that they need to cut that back and they need to offer a more diverse showing in the feature snippet at times, because that speaks to users' pain points around trust and reliability and autonomy on the SERP, which obviously is a huge pain point to a Google audience that's far more skeptical about Google and about the web overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes a lot of sense that they're doing it. I don't think it's an accident that you have all of these multiple URL feature snippet formats being tested.
Huh. You're saying that they're kind of leaning back into kind of showcasing where they're getting their information a little bit more, as opposed to just declaring themselves having an answer on screen. They're actually giving multiple formats, still usable content, but they're also giving destination links where the consumer can actually go to those sites and find out a bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's obviously a benefit in them showing you one answer and you thinking, wow, Google's super smart. They gave me the answer. I'm going to keep going back there.
Got it. Yeah.
But if the user base is more skeptical than it used to be, and being more skeptical means you need to see more of a breadth of topics shown to you, then it also makes sense at times to show content diversity to deal with that pain point. So one pain point is users need to know that we're trustworthy and authoritative. The other pain point is that users want a more diverse content experience because that's a more autonomous experience. I can choose where I want to go as opposed to you just giving me the answer.
Got it.
So Google has to straddle that fence because, yeah, you got it? We're good?
No, we're good. We actually reported on the distrust of big tech in an article a couple weeks back that more and more people are not trusting the single source of truth that Google or any search engine is providing. So, yeah, we've seen that for a while. They're giving more and more citations, multiple sites referenced as trustworthy sites about this topic. So, yeah, this falls right in line with what you're talking about. Fantastic. I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
Want to see more of that, to be honest with you, because there was an overreach for years that was happening that it really started to gel that we could even control the content that they were actually lifting to display on the feature. So this is a counterweight to that.
Yeah, I think this is good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what's also good? Inlinks. Inlinks is good. And they're a sponsor of Edge of the Web. Did you know that entities play a major role in how search engines understand and rank content on the web? Optimizing your content solely around keywords is a thing of the past. And if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, we have moved away from that a long time ago. Now's the time for adding entities into the mix and reach higher rankings by using Inlinks, an award-winning software in entity SEO. Inlinks provides expert-level data to build your content around any thoughts and key concepts that you want to influence Google and have a better understanding of the content of your articles. Go over to edgeofthewebradio.com/Inlinks. To claim your free Inlinks account and start creating content that will outperform your competitors. All right, fourth article on deck. We got a fourth one today, and I really wanted to talk about this because, you know what? We're a podcast, and this article is just about that over at Search Engine Land from Nicole Farley. And Morty does a few podcasts here or there, so I thought he might be interested in this as well. Spotify commits to brand safety for podcasts. Spotify has partnered with Integral Ad Science, IAS, to create a brand safety framework for podcasts. The technology will be the first of its kind across the digital landscape where safety precautions currently exist for video, but not audio. So the technology uses episode level transcription technology to be able to help advertisers exclude topics that don't align with their brand. Now I'm going to repeat that just to make sure everybody hears. They're actually doing episode level transcriptions. Well, it's not enough to actually transcribe. You've got to know the content explicitly and be able to understand the different topic matter. And that is actually used to be able to provide content awareness so advertisers can actually exclude topics that they don't want to be part of. That's kind of interesting, yeah?
I think it's high time that you had something like that. I mean, for example, just take it from an advertising point of view, but I curse like a sailor on my podcast. I don't. But you would think I would, but I don't. I don't want kids to be able to listen to that. Like, there should be some kind of rating. Now, obviously, you're going to trust me to give myself a rating? Exactly. Like, you have to be crazy. I'm not trustworthy like that. So having some kind of system where you can look at the transcript and understand, okay. This, maybe Sesame Street shouldn't be promoting, hey, we're advertising on this podcast that's dropping F-bombs.
Yep.
So it's good for everybody. It's good for advertisers. It's good for kids. Good for everybody.
It is good. I'm always going to jump in there as an additional factor here. Whenever we're talking about podcasts and performance of podcasts and analytics of podcasts, we over here are always scratching our head of why it's still in its infancy. It's a downloadable file, but can't you parse that information and provide really good insight, not only for advertisers, but the engines are listening. They understand what is going on in the content. You should be able to use your podcasting for a great deal of optimization inside of search as well. So this is the pivot moment. If things are being transcribed, your audio product, and there's decisions being made from the type of content, that should absolutely play into any type of search optimization as well. And we've always been knocking at the door there. Oh, we have to transcribe our own content. Hey, we have to parse through and create our own structural content. We'll have to do the work for you, engines, because you're not listening to the podcast and diving in there. Well, it seems, based on the monetization factor of podcasts, that technology is actually coming into bear, and who knows? We may actually get a heck of a lot more value out of the content, the audio content that you're purveying to your listeners. I think it's high time for us to be able to unpack all the different facets of natural language processing and the optimization that comes from organic conversation. It's going to be far-reaching, more authentic than any other type of polished medium. Sorry, I'm on a rant there, but it's pretty important. I think if we're witnessing this technology being used in the marketplace, it should be embraced by search. They're already doing it inside of video content and timestamping key markers inside of video content on YouTube. It's high time that the engines digest and understand what we're doing in the audio lane. All right, to you.
Well, I just wanted to say that I hope this impacts how things rank on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're looking at, they're creating a transcript, they know what's in there. Perhaps they can be a little more advanced with what shows up.
I hope
you
so.
Search for things related to not songs, because it's pretty, I think it's pretty basic from what I see.
You know, absolutely. We're going to pay attention to this because I think there could very well.
For SEO podcast, it's everything with SEO podcast in the title.
SEO podcast and SEO.
Damn the lag.
Best SEO podcast as well. Sorry, a little bit of NLP optimization. How about that? Hey, there's our articles for the week. What's going on over at SEO chat this week, Morty?
Jamar Ramos, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. And if you don't know him, he is a legend. Jamar Ramos is hosting SEO chat all about generating sales as an agency.
Oh, wow. As it applies to SEO.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That's kind
applicable
of
applicable to site strategics.
Absolutely. That's kind of a new lane for SEO chat, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, here's how it works. People suggest a topic. I'm like, you know what? We already covered that recently. I think maybe we should do something a little bit different. When it's a topic that we haven't covered recently, I'm like, okay, let's do that.
Very cool. All right, so pay attention to SEO chat.
Oh, yeah, hashtag, very complex.
Hashtag SEO chat every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and a lot of great people jump in and converse. It's a really, really good channel of information, and you get to know a lot of people in the SEO industry, and you can also practice your memes because there's a lot in there. They're from the question or the answer side of things, but check that out every week, Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern. All right, well, thank you, Morty, for bearing with me as I tried out this new audio platform, and we will be discussing it after the broadcast. But anything else that you want to jump into this week, Morty?
No, just when we discuss it later about this platform, I just want to make sure, will there be lag? I hope so.
We're going to have a Zoom session just to discuss this platform, so there won't be. I may actually just leave the lags in there just for comedy relief. Like that. All right. All right. Thanks a lot, Morty. That's it for Edge this week. check out our Bill Hartzer episode. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel to get updated. And also, whenever we correct stuff, because we got that stuff now, too. From all of us over at Edge, stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you lag-free next week. Bye-bye.